politics, religion, fortune,
privilege,
fame,
addicted,
money, getting richer, power,
manipulation.
Welcome to the school.
It's time.
Welcome to the school of life. School of life. Sometimes I did it wrong, sometimes I did it right. School of life. No matter how crazy this world may seem.
Series, I'm preaching already. My time has already started. I just need 30 minutes. We've been in this series called Mixed Emotions. Mixed Emotions. And I had the awesome privilege of starting this series off a couple weeks ago. And we really broke down mixed emotions and how sometimes in life things happen and it causes mixed emotions. But we have to be careful, because it's okay to have emotion, but it's not okay for emotion to have you. And we saw Peter, who already knew that God was going to be taken, who already knew that he had to die, that he had to be crucified. But in a moment of mixed emotions, he acted out of character, grabbed a sword, and cut a man's ear off. So we must warn ourselves that mixed emotions will, it'll have you out of whack. It'll have you being unpleasable. It'll have you frustrated. It'll have the you become hard to deal with because you're dealing with so many festered feelings on the inside. And sometimes what we do when we have mixed emotions is instead of going to God like Jabez did, and praying to God and giving that thing over to God, sometimes we become the social butterfly. Sometimes we go looking for the party, trying to have fun to replace the emotional damage, the emotional struggle that we've been dealing with. And if we don't become that social butterfly, some of us become the one who withdraws. We're so hurt from pain and mixed emotions that we withdraw to ourselves, leaving ourselves to our own thoughts, our own feelings, and our own emotions. And that is that's a dangerous place to be in, because hurt hurts. And you will have yourself believing things that is not true, all because you haven't opened yourself up to people, or if you haven't told somebody that I'm dealing and I'm struggling with this thing. And if you don't become that person, sometimes you become the person who looks for this false sense of security in people, when God is the only one that you can depend on. Sure enough, depend on. He's the only one. So we'll find ourselves jumping from church to church, relationship to relationship, because we're looking for this security that does not exist and cannot come from man, and it only comes from God. So as soon as things get rocky, as soon as things start to look like the past, we leave and we escape and we neglect the process and the season that God has planted us in. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, but the Bible says that all things work together for the good of them that love God It didn't say that everything would be okay, but sometimes God uses the pressures of life to make, to mold, to shape, to fix, to put back together things that we need inside. And because we're looking for this false sense of security, we escape the process, all to find out the process is unescapable. And until you go through the process, you won't reach the promise. Mixed emotions. And then on last Sunday, we gave you an illustrated sermon. We showed you how you can have so many mixed emotions that you'll be questioning if something is a blessing or not. The guy lost his wallet and the guy found the wallet and he picked it up, and it turns out in the wallet was everything that he needed, so he thought. But I'm here to tell you today that God will not take something from somebody else or something that belongs to somebody else to bless you. There's more than enough blessings to go around. So you gotta deal with these mixed emotions. And then we showed you through the relationship of a husband and a wife that the wife was all for moving on to better pastures. But as soon as it materialized and as soon as it came up to part, she became fearful. And sometimes in life, we're ready to move. We've been praying for God to open doors. And then the door opens and all of a sudden we allow mixed emotions to set in and to cause us to be stagnant. Mixed emotions can do all these wonderful things to you. And I'm preaching already. And today I want to talk about FOMO. Y'all know what FOMO is? I heard it. It's the fear of missing out. The fear of missing out. We're going to get there. But first, let me give you a brief story. As y'all know, I love telling stories. I can recall as a youth and an adolescent, my father would take my brother and I to Pistons games, to Red Wings games, to my dad was a sports fanatic, so by nature, we became one. And I love going to these games with my father. I thought my father was the best person in this world. And shortly, I became disgruntled with going to these games because my dad will always leave the game early. Dad, it's four quarters in basketball, not three. What do you mean it's time to go? Dad, it's nine innings in baseball. Okay, it's nine. The seven inning stretch is not time to leave. It's time to stretch and get back in the game. But I grew angry with my father because everywhere he took us, we always had to leave early. So I grew to a place, fast forward as a teenager, it's like, Dad, if we cannot stay the whole time, I'm not going. Because sometimes the game doesn't get good until the fourth quarter. Sometimes there's a ninth inning walk-off home run. And I had the fear of missing out on those experiences, so I didn't want to go anymore. But then I lived a little longer. Say, live a little longer. I got some kids of my own. And I said, when I take my kids to the game, honey, we staying the whole time. Matter of fact, we're going to stay overtime. We're going to do extra. I'm not leaving early. Because I didn't like that as a kid. I did that with my kids at a baseball game. And all of a sudden, you ever seen The Lion King? When the gazelles just start coming out and rushing out all at one time. I'm trying to hold on to my kids. I got drunk people moving around. I'm just like trying to look. Oh, man. Oh, God. this is just too much. Gotta keep up with the kids. I'm worried about somebody running over my kids. They spilling, they drunk, they all loud. You've been there. So I said, this is the reason why daddy left early. It wasn't that he was withholding an experience from me. It wasn't, oh, help me, Holy Ghost. It wasn't that he didn't want me to see the ninth inning walk-off home run or the buzzer beater in the fourth quarter, but he decided that protecting me from the crowd was greater than that experience. And sometimes in life, we become frustrated with God because we feel like we're missing something. We feel like God is robbing us of an experience. And mixed emotions flutter and fester and will have in you believe that God is withholding something from you. And I just came by to tell you today, if God is withholding something from you, it's not that he thinks less of you. It's not that you're not good enough. He said, you know what? It ain't time yet. Or I'm protecting you from what you cannot see. As a kid, I didn't know that the crowd would be like that. I didn't know I'll be amongst drunk people. But daddy knew what was going on. So daddy had to protect me from what I didn't know. And last time I checked, God was all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And we fall out with God and we have limited capacity. Limit capacity. God has the bird's eye view. If you know what about a bird's eye view is that he can see the end from the beginning. You can only see current present time, but God holds tomorrow. God holds next year. He holds next month. In other words, stop and just learn how to enjoy where you are. Because he said, no good thing will I withhold from you. And the blessings of the Lord are yea and amen. But we get this FOMO, this fear of missing out. Let me talk for a moment to tell you about what FOMO is. FOMO, or the fear of missing out, is or refers to the feeling, watch this, or the perception that others are having more fun, living better lives, or experiencing better things than you are. It involves a deep sense of envy and affects your self-esteem. Many of us are walking around depressed because we are not thankful for what all God has done for us. And it's hard for us to get to that place because we're steady comparing ourselves to everybody else. The fear of missing out is not just the sense that things may be better on the other side. It's that you at the moment, I'm sorry, it's not just the sense that there might be better things that you could be doing at the moment, but it's the feeling that you are missing out on something that's fundamentally important that others are experiencing. Everybody getting married but you. Fear of missing out. Now you've displaced everything that God has done for you, the ways that he makes for you, the provision, and you have belittled God to a husband. You've belittled God to a promotion. You've belittled God to $1 million. But I'm just here to tell you that God is God and he is good. Whether you ever get married, whether you ever get a promotion, whether you ever get a new job or a new car, if you ever get $1 million, God is bigger than what you desire. And he's waking you up every morning, keeping you from seen and unseen danger, revoking the hand of the enemy every which way. Everybody turn up sick, but you're the only one that's out. God redirected you and stopped you from being in a car accident. The people shot and the bullets didn't take effect. You better stop belittling God to what you don't have and start appreciating God for what you do have. And I don't care how bad life is. I don't care how bad you got it. Baby, if you got breath in your body, then it's only a matter of time before things can get better. We've neglected life to possessions. We've neglected life for a husband, a job, a new car. But I'm just thankful. Is anybody glad just to be alive? Do you know, just about a couple weeks ago, I told me and my wife were talking, my whole house got sick. Justin brought something, a bug home from daycare, and he was out, and surely it not. I mean, it wiped us out. Now, me, I'm the type of person, I come from a working family. So growing up, my dad went to work sick. So you know what I do? I go to work sick. If I can make it, I can make it, you know? And I got so sick a couple weeks ago, I couldn't get out the bed. I mean, my stomach was hurting so bad, it was hard to move. I mean, it was just so crazy. And I was literally bedridden. And that made me think about and appreciate how much I just love my life. Yeah, I don't care what I don't got. Hey, but the fact that I can get out of the bed, that ain't nobody got to roll me in. But see, your emotions will play a trick on you and having you believe that you're missing something. But can I tell you that if you got God, you got everything. Everything. So the fear of missing out can apply to anything from a party on a Friday night to a promotion at work, but it always involves a sense of helplessness that you are missing out on something big. This is not new. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, right? Can I show you this in the Bible? All right, 1 Samuel, going to my text. 1 Samuel chapter 8, I'm going to read a lot, so I'm not going to make y'all stand up, okay? I know it's our custom, but I'm going to be reading for a long time, and I'm already in the flow, so I'm not going to make you stand up. All right, 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 22, I'm going to read this, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation version just to make it more plain for us, amen? It says this, it says, Samuel grew old. He appointed his sons to be judges over Israel, Joel and Abijah, excuse me if it ain't right. His oldest son held court in Beersheba, but they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. They accepted bribes and perverted justice. Finally, all the elders of Israel came to Ramah to discuss the matter with Samson. Look, they told him, you are old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have. Look at that. Context. So when God took the people out of Israel from under Pharaoh, they didn't have a king. They had his prophet. And his prophet ruled over them and judged them. And we see in the pretext that they went to the prophet. They were doing some crazy stuff, following some other gods. And God was like, you know what? Tell the prophet, you know what? If y'all can come back to me, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. God sent the sound from heaven, confused their enemies, gave them great victory, right? So God was good to them, but he worked through the man of God. He worked through the man of God. He didn't have a king with horses and chariots and all these other things. He used a humble spirit, a man of God. Amen. And so they came to him like, look, well, I guess your sons, you know what I mean? They're no good at this point, but give us a king. We don't really want you anymore. Now, the crazy thing is, it wasn't like he was dead. He was still alive. He was alive. So why are you worried about tomorrow or what's next when God's provision is still being made known? They were worried about who was going to take over, and the king was still there. Because he was old doesn't mean that God wasn't with him. And just like that, we look at stuff in our lives and we think because it's old, it's not effective. Oh, we need to make up something new. We want to do something new because we've been doing it this way a long time. But if God is in it, don't change it. Go back to my text. Samuel was displeased with their request. He like, yo, I've been leading y'all. We good. We just came out of the battle. Y'all want to get rid of me? Like, really? And he went to the Lord for guidance. Went to God and said, do everything they say to you, the Lord replied, for they are rejecting me, not you. They want me to be they don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and follow other gods. And now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king would reign over them. So Samuel goes back to the people as the Lord requested. So Samuel passed the Lord's warning to the people who were asking him for a king. This is how a king will reign over you, Samuel said. The king will draft your sons and assign them to his chariots and his charioteers, making them run before his chariots. Some will be generals and captains in his army. Some will be forced to plow in the fields and harvest his crops, and some will make weapons and chariot equipment. The king will take your daughters and from you and force them to cook and bake and make perfumes for him. He will take away the best of your fields and vineyards and olives and groves and give them to his own officials. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your grape harvest and distribute them among his officers and attendants. He will take your male and female slaves and demand your finest of your cattle and your donkeys for his own house. He will demand a tenth of your flock and you will be his slaves. And when that day comes, you will beg for relief from this king and you are demanding, but the Lord will not help you. But the people refused to listen to his warning. He told him that if this is what you want, if you want to be like everybody else, if you want to step out of the ark of safety and look like the Joneses because it looks better over there, go ahead and do it. Don't you love that God is a gentleman that he ain't like, nah, no, can't do it. He like, nah, if that's what you want, go right ahead, buddy. Take your best shot. But just to let you know, it ain't better over there. It's good over here. And eventually, this is what's going to happen if you go that route. But the people said, you know what? Give us a king. And so, but the people refused to listen to Samson with Samuel's warning. Even so, we still want a king, they said. We want to be like the nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle. So Samuel repeated to the Lord what had happened, and the Lord replied, do as they say and give them a king. And then Samuel agreed and sent the people away. So the people of God, the church, started to feel or started to have the fear of missing out. You have to understand that in this day and age, the kings were dressed in fine garments. They lived these lavish lifestyles. They presented that they had it all good and going on. They had men and they had slaves and they rode on horses and chariots and they were regal. They were modern day celebrities. And the people of Israel said, we no longer want a humble prophet. We don't want somebody who just going to go pray, but we want somebody to look like what we feel the king should look like. In other words, they took their focus on their God and everything that he had done for them, how he brought them out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea and gave them many battles. They forsake all of that just to look like somebody else. And I'm here to tell you today that half of the stuff that you see on TV ain't real. And what you have to understand is that when you're dealing with FOMO, this fear of missing out, a lot of times you're comparing your natural life to somebody's highlight reel. And when you are comparing your normal self to somebody's highlight, you will start to feel like you're missing something. You will start to feel like God is blessing other people more than he's blessing you. When in all actuality, you don't know what people had to do or go through to get what they got. You don't know if they had to lie. You don't know if they had to scheme. You don't know if they had to backstab. You don't know what they had to go through. So we're falling in love with this perception of success. We're falling in love with this perception of what the blessed life looks like. But I'm here to tell you that the blessed life don't look like name brand clothes and name brand shoes. It don't look like heavenly or earthly treasures and houses that's going to pass away. It looks like being able to pray to an all-knowing God and he hear you. It looks like being able to lay your hand on the sick and they recover. It looks like being able to be a blessing and a help and a beacon light in your community. But we've belittled the blessing of God. And now we got this fear of missing out because we're looking for happiness or we're looking for the joy of the Lord, of the blessing of the Lord, to be material and not to be substance. The blessings of the Lord gives you substance. It fortifies you. It helps you to be flat-footed. It helps you to be able to stand. And what the world does is they have all these get-rich-quick schemes. And you will think that God is not blessing you because the couple out here scamming and he bought her a Bentley truck and all this other stuff. And you like, I'm just, you know, but you don't know that ain't even blessed. Not even blessed. But the fear of missing out will have you to forget everything that God's done for you. Waking you up in the morning, keeping you, and it'll have you telling God, you know what? I don't want you anymore. I want what the world has. The Bible says that we're in the world, but not of it. You have to understand that being and living in the kingdom is not keeping up with the Joneses. And what the world calls blessed might be a curse. But God gives you the gift that keeps on giving. So I want us to walk through really quick the reasons why FOMO could exist in our lives. Are you ready for this? The reason why you can have this fear of missing out, number one, like we see in our text, is improper focus. We've lost touch of all God has done, and put focus on the things that we do not have. We do not have. And even in the garden, we see this. God tells Adam that you guys can freely eat from every tree, but this one. But this one. And the enemy got them to believe that God was withholding something from you. He told them, he said, well, if he just don't want you to be like him. But I need you to believe that your God is a good God. And your God is not withholding anything from you. And if God has not released something to you just yet, that just means that it's not the season forward. For the Bible says that everything has a season and a time. And what we will do in life is we will look at other people and think that they're more blessed than us, when all actuality, they're just in a different page of life than us. So stop focusing on what you do not have and focus on what you do have. Because if you keep on focusing on what you don't have, this fear of missing out will have you paint a picture in your head that God doesn't love you, that you are not the favorite of God, that you are not the chosen of God, and that is not true and is not biblical. The second one, this is good right here. This is real good. The second one is the reason why we would deal with FOMO. It's because we've created this idolatry that God plays favoritism. That God plays favoritism. And if I can be quite honest, everybody, you know, you see the black Israelites and everything like that. You see them out there. You know, this is rooted and grounded in that theology. They think that they are the Jews, the called, the chosen people, and that nobody else matters but them. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, watch this, that whosoever believe in what? In him, what not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Whosoever. Salvation is for everybody. White, black, skinny, short, rich, poor, Jew, Greek, no matter where you come from. Watch this. And even for the lost. The homosexual, he came for you too. Because you got to be what? Born again. That old black Jew thing, that's where that comes from. They'll have you believing that God is playing favorites or favoritism. Watch this. Let's not confuse this. God gives us favor. Somebody say favor. Favorite is God's divinity coming in contact with your humanity, right? So I don't have enough money to buy this house, but supernaturally God adds to me and he makes what I have enough. That's favor, okay? Favor is everybody with this condition has died, but for some reason yours has been reversed. That's favor. Favoritism is different. Favoritism says that only you, only this one, only that one is eligible for this blessing. But the favor of God is about principle. The favor of God is about obedience. The favor of God is about choosing to live for him. So anybody can be the favorite of God who chooses to obey and live for Christ. And the same favor that God has for me, he'll give to you. But this is the issue. Some of us have been sowing. You can look at my life. I'm married, got a fine, beautiful wife, 2 kids, house of my own, nice in a neighborhood that she chose and all of that. And you can look at my life and you can say that God loves me more than he loves you. Because you're comparing my season of harvest with your season of planting. FOMO will have you thinking that God is better to me than he is to you. But in all actuality, I got an early start sowing my seeds. And the rain has already hit mine. So I'm already living in a harvest. And then now you're trying to sow your seeds. But I'm here to tell you today that whether you sowing your seeds or reaping your harvest, if you can just keep God first and stop looking at everybody else and focus on where he has you and focus on the season that you are in, you'll realize that you're blessed. Listen, God created you different, not just from me, but from everybody. None of us have the same fingerprint. That means that God was so intentional when he created you that he didn't want you to have the same fingerprints as me. Do you know how blessed and how loved you are? That even his desire, that he cared that much when you touched stuff the mark that you would leave? So you gotta stop looking at me and other people and just focus on your uniqueness, your blessing, your calling. You know, growing up, I grew up Kojic, and then we left the Kojic church when my grandma passed, and I went to a Baptist church. And when I went to this Baptist church, I was a young preacher. I've been preaching since I was 13 years old. It's been a long time. I actually had a birthday this week, too. Praise be to God. Thank you. I had a birthday this week. I've been preaching for a long time. And so I made the mistake this one time and belittled who God had called me to be. Because growing up, all of the preachers that was young, they looked it old and they talked it old. I mean, they wore 4-piece suits. I don't even know if you've seen a 4-piece suit, but they wore 4-piece suits and they would get up and they that was just like, dude, are you 15 or 58? Like, but it was hard for me to accept who God has called me to be. You know, because I didn't prescribe to that. I didn't want to sound, I'm young, and I'm glad that I'm young. You know, but see, there was this thing where it was like, that was what was respected. You know what I mean? So they tried to look like and sound like their pastors. And me, I'm like, I'm Justin. You know what I mean? But I made the mistake one day at this service. They called me, the BM&E State Convention called me to preach for the youth service, and I'm in a sanctuary filled full of probably 1,000 people, and I made the mistake of giving them what I thought they wanted, when the reason why they picked me to preach was because I was different. Because I didn't do like them and look like them and dress like them. That's why they picked me to preach. But I got up there and, man, I thought I was preaching good too. I did it all. And the whole church was dead silent, quiet as a mouse. And I fell flat on my face. I almost gave up preaching that day. If it wasn't for my brother, David, who counseled me in the car on the way home, I probably would have given up on preaching. But I had this big, grand moment to be able to speak to thousands of people. And instead of being myself, I chose to be something different. So that day, what God had put uniquely in me, the people didn't get. Because I was afraid that they wouldn't accept who I was. Jesus. And I got to move hastily. And the third reason why we have this fear of missing out is because if we be honest with ourselves, we really don't trust God. We say we trust God with our mouth, with our hand, and with our dance. But when we have to believe God for our healing, when we got to believe God for our breakthrough, we don't really trust him. And because we don't trust him, we get mad at God and make God be out to be somebody bad because we feel like we're missing out on something. And as I move hasty, I want to give you these next 3 points. The next 3 points of how to avoid the feeling of missing out. The Bible in Hebrews 11, it says this, and I love the first word of this text. It says, now faith. Say, now faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. I love that word now because it means no matter the situation, the circumstances, the plot of life I'm in, whenever I am willing to apply faith now, it's active. It's active. So I don't care what you feel like you've been missing out on. I don't care who you've been feeling you missing out on, what experience you've been feeling like you missed out on. If you could just stop and appreciate the season that you're in and apply faith to the season that you're in, you will find out that the thing that you really want, you don't need. There's so much power in now, but we depressed, we angry because we're worried about what's next. The Bible says, what can you add to your life by worrying? But I'm thankful that I serve a God who holds tomorrow. So I'm here to tell you, whatever you feel like you've been missing out in, stop worrying about it and focus on now, the season I'm in, the car that I drive, the job that I have. And if you could just be more appreciative of what you have and stop worrying about what you don't have, I believe that supernatural God will start adding stuff to you. I believe that promotion is knocking at the door, but God is waiting for you to appreciate where you are. Now, you want to be a manager, but you got to learn how to be a worker first. You want to preach, but you got to learn how to serve first. You want to sing, but you got to up front, but you got to learn how to let your lifestyle be of worship first. The second thing is how to avoid this. Is change your focus. Change your focus. The thing that you do not have, that you so desperately think you need, you're all right without it. Just, I mean, think about it, right? I mean, did you wake up today? All right, you drove here, right? You're alive, right? So how really bad is it? What are you really, okay. But I love the Bible in Philippians. It talks about thinking those things that are pure, that are holy, that are righteous, that are of good report. The Bible don't just say that for no reason, because the Bible, God knew, he foreseen so long ago that this fear of missing out will happen, that you will be believing that other people in other places are better off than you, and you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I need you to change your focus and get it off the Joneses, get it off reality TV, and put it on an almighty God. Instead of talking about what you don't have, start talking about what you do have. It's called gratitude. And finally, As I close, making good time. The last way, and I think the best way to avoid this fear of missing out is to delight yourself in God. For the Bible says that if you delight yourself in Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you would delight yourself in Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Can I break it down real quick? Okay. All right. We look at this text. And I'm ready. We look at this text and we say, oh, if I delight myself in God, then He just gonna give me everything I want. Everything I need. Tell your neighbor, say, read it again. Read it again. If you delight yourself in Him, then He'll give you the desires of your heart. In other words, in exchange for my worship, God plants desires in my heart. In other words, I'm no longer living for myself and pleasing myself and trying to just worry about self, but I start worrying about what God has me. I remember I was 24 years old. 23. I woke up this one morning and all of a sudden I had a desire for a wife. I can't make this up. I had never desired a wife. I was single. I was good all by myself. So I thought. And the Lord really put in a desire for my for a while. I start like, I don't know, marriage just start looking appealing and it just started, and it's just like I had this overwhelming desire that it was time for me to get married. It came out of nowhere. It rushed me, and I'm closing. It rushed me, and I yielded to it. What, about a year later, I met my wife. We got married. Created this beautiful life together, enjoying life, and suddenly my brother passed. My brother died, and my brother had an 8-month-old baby at the time. And I truly believe that in God giving me that desire, He was able to see what was going on, what was going to happen. And He made sure that in my weakest point in my life that I would have everything that I needed. So He thought enough of me to give me a desire for something that I would need later. And, you know, and there was some custody battle for my nephew and everything like that. And I believe that one of the things that granted us custody of this child, of this 8-month-old baby, is because we were married and everybody else was single. So how that looked to a judge was, oh, no, we're gonna go with them. But that was because I delighted myself in Him. Stand to your feet. What does that mean? God cares for you. God cares for you. And He loves you so much that He will freely give you things that you don't even know you need yet. You don't even know what's coming. What am I saying? God it's not going to allow you to miss out on anything. He says, no good thing will I withhold from you. For him that walk upright. Thank you, mother. So if I don't have it, I don't need it. Paul went to God three times and said, there's a thorn in my flesh. Lord, take this thing from me. Take it from me. And God says, my grace is sufficient. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but whatever you feel like you're missing, I'm here to tell you that you're better without it. Because God's grace is sufficient. That means that without that thing, that God is still good to you. And the interesting thing about Paul is that with this thorn in his flesh, he still wrote half of the New Testament. In other words, the thing that he wanted, that he thought that he Lord, take this from me. Everybody else don't have thorns. Lord, take me from this thing. Release me from it. God says, it's not gonna stop you from walking into your destiny and being all who God has called you to be. You are not missing out on nothing, but you are called, you are chosen, you are destined for here and for now. And no longer will you neglect the blessings of today for the fear of missing out on something, for the fear of missing out on keeping up with the Joneses. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, forgive us. Forgive us, for we have sinned. For we have not been grateful for where you placed us. We haven't been grateful for here and now. God, but we realize and recognize that there's destiny in this place. There's destiny in this career. There's destiny in the season, single season. There's destiny on the level of management or where you are right now. We realize, God, that there's greatness in being a greeter. There's greatness in being the security. There's greatness in being the usher. And just because we're not up front, just because we don't look like other people, other ministries, other couples, that does not mean that you aren't blessing us. So forgive us, oh God, for belittling you to possessions, for belittling you to things. And I pray right now that as we become grateful for here, for now, that you would spark something in us that would cause us to run like we've never run. That you will cause us to do and to be before we become. God, help us to fall in love with the process. For the process, it shapes us, it makes us, it molds us. For we know and we believe that no good thing will you withhold from the upright. We just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Father God, there may be someone in this place that doesn't know you and a partner of their sins. God, if that's somebody today, maybe you're watching online, we pray that you will come into their hearts right now, oh God. We pray that you will arrest them right now, oh God, and that you will help them to understand that the very thing they're missing is you. So if that's you today, lift your hands. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a clean spirit. Father, I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. Come into my life. I want to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's celebrate the ones that's gotten saved. Let's celebrate the ones that's given their life to Christ. If that's you, if you prayed that prayer today, I challenge you to connect with us. This is a great church. It's a great church. The feast of the Lord is going on over here. I challenge you to connect with us. There's many ways you can connect with us. You can visit our website, click guest card, fill that guest card out. Let us know that you've decided and you want to make Concourse your church home. If you're in the building, it's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. Scan that QR code, fill out the information, connect with us. We're a good church. We're a good church to be. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you for worshiping with us. We don't want to hold you any longer. I challenge you to stay up to date on all the announcements that's going on.